Reading from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now this guy James has got to be kidding, right? Slow to become angry? That's like saying calm down to an angry woman. You know what doesn't help when I get mad? Telling me to calm down. Do you have a death wish? The Daily Caller put out a poll that stated that Americans are angry about pretty much everything. This poll says that 56% of us are so angry that we cannot sleep at night. Our culture has lost all touch with reality of the things that really should make us mad. The fry cook at Culver's accidentally putting onions on your butter burger is not the thing to go all nuclear over. Roadway rage, while cliche, is a perfect example of how insanely angry our society has become. In Georgia, a two-year-old was shot through the neck by an irate motorist who was arguing over a traffic violation with his dad. In Colorado, a 51-year-old man used a semi-automatic pistol to kill a 32-year-old bicyclist who cut him off. In Ohio, a woman cut in front of a pregnant woman and slammed on her brakes in order to teach her a lesson from poor driving. Some lesson that turned out to be. The pregnant woman's baby was killed in the accident that followed. In Florida, a man was shot and killed for not having the exact change by a man behind him at the toll booth. Oh yeah, anger has made us all a little insane and pretty crazy. But anger in and of itself is not wrong. Anger in our lives is often caused by very real and escapable problems in our lives. It can also serve as a signal that something is wrong. Often anger is the right response, especially when it comes to the evil in our world. Anger is kind of on a continuum. Too little anger, and there is no resistance or passion against unrighteousness. Too much anger, and there is uncontrolled and damaging rage. Some will tell you we should have holy emotions and get rid of unholy emotions. Your holy emotions are love, joy, peace. Your unholy emotions are hatred, anger, and jealousy. The problem with this philosophy is God has every single one of those unholy emotions too, which means that these emotions are not unholy. It is us human beings who make the emotion unholy. Anger is a very complex human emotion. We can be angry at external events like traffic jams. We can be angry at internal events like memories of past abuse. Things that anger one person just roll off another person's back. Chances are, if you have a problem with anger, you already know it. There are some of us, myself included, who might have anger management problems. Some people get angrier easier and more hotly than others. They are inches away from a blow-up at any given moment. They can't take things in stride and become particularly infuriated if they are corrected for a minor mistake. The instinctive, natural way to express anger is to be aggressive. Anger is a built-in survival mechanism against threats. Imagine a caveman. Here comes a menacing dinosaur. Is he just going to say, ho-hum, live and let live, and let the dinosaur gobble him up and his family too? I don't think so. I think he's going to take his club and do away with him. You see, a certain amount of anger is necessary for survival. In general, we get angry for three reasons. The first one is pain. Emotional or physical pain can cause feelings of anger. Somebody punches you in the eye or calls you a name. These things hurt and they make you angry. The second one is frustration. Nothing goes as planned. A long, slow train has messed up your schedule. The internet is down. These things frustrate you and make you angry. And the third one is threats. When you back even the most docile dog into a corner, he's going to come out fighting. and we are no different. If we feel threatened, we get mad. Mostly, anger is temporary insanity. Just like the person who is under the control of an illegal substance, a person who is under the control of anger cannot rationalize, comprehend, or make good decisions because anger distorts logical reasoning. Anger makes us think one of two ways, defend or attack, and neither one of these work very well in our everyday lives. More often than not, we have to ignore our anger because it makes us crazy for brief periods of time. We cannot trust ourselves when we are angry. Why in the whole world do we think we need to address something when we are crazed with anger instead of waiting until we return to sanity? Proverbs 12:16 says, "A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult." So the question arises, is anger a sin? And if it is, what makes it so bad? Well, here's an incomplete answer to be sure, but here goes nothing. Anger can be neutral. Anger becomes a sin when actions are taken. Anger produces an emotional feeling, but the feeling is not the sinful part. This is what sinful anger looks like, especially among adults. Gossiping, self-righteousness, judging, maligning, resentment, rage, antagonism, and complaining. These are all manifestations of anger, and yes, they are all sins. In the Bible, the type of anger which is not sinful is called righteous indignation. Righteous indignation does not begin with an emotion. It begins with a rational and logical evaluation of the facts. It is possible to experience anger without acting out of an emotion. It is possible to experience anger without sinning. There is a difference between sinful and non-sinful anger. The difference is defined by our reactions. An example of a sinful reaction would be yelling at somebody for being late, and you don't even care why they were late. But if the reaction is appropriate, it targets the right person or thing. An example of appropriate anger or righteous indignation would be anger at a child molester. There are two very bad ways to express anger, exploding or imploding. Exploding takes the form of screaming, swearing, or hitting people or things. Imploding holds anger in, which is very bad for your physical and mental health. When we get angry, we experience physiological changes. Our heart rates go up, our blood pressure goes up, our energy hormones soar, and once this happens, it's really hard to get control of ourselves. However, it is not true that we cannot control our anger unless we have an emotional or mental disorder. We don't want to be out of control when it comes to anger. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A person without self-control is like a city with broken-down walls." We can control anger, but first we have to admit we are angry. And who really likes to admit that? We want to use different words to candy coat it. No, I'm not angry. I'm hurt. I'm not angry. I'm offended. No, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. As hard as it is, we must admit that we're angry. Maybe not to the whole wide world, but to those we are close to and to ourselves, and yes, to God. Often our bodies know we're angry before our brains ever know it. This might sound odd. Don't people know when they're angry? Not always. I used to blow up and then think to myself, well, I didn't see that coming. A close friend of mine told me she knew when to duck and cover because I would say, you know what, before I lost my temper. After one particularly destructive blow up, I went back over the angering event and I looked for the signs of when the anger first appeared. From analyzing that episode, I know now that when I begin to feel too angry, I get a weak feeling in my arms. I have taught myself that as soon as the weak feeling comes, a big blow up is next if I do not get myself under control. I have trained myself to say these words to myself the minute the weak feeling in my arms begin. "You're getting too angry. Walk it off, sister." You know you have not learned to control your anger when you are passive-aggressive, which is letting people know in indirect ways that they have displeased you. You have not learned to control your anger when you are perpetually cynical and hostile, chronically grumpy and irritable, when you are a habitual conclusion jumper, when you constantly put others down, when you criticize everything and make caustic comments, and when you hold grudges. If these things are part of the fabric of your life, you have not learned to control your anger. Not surprisingly, people who have not learned to control their anger have rotten relationships. A lady once came up to the great preacher, Billy Sunday, and she tried to rationalize her angry outbursts. She said, "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I just blow up, and then it's all over." Reverend Sunday said, "So does a shotgun, and look at the damage it leaves behind." I believe the most damage done in human relationships is done out of anger. The Bible tells us that uncontrolled, unresolved anger gives the devil a foothold, which can also be said as giving the devil an opportunity. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." How does anger give the devil a foothold? Anger gives the devil a solid place to get started, an in, a foot under the door. You've heard of the phrase, a camel's nose under the tent? This is what this means. Then the devil can move in a little bit further, wielding more and more power in our lives. Giving the devil a foothold or an opportunity in the area of anger can render you an out-of-control person. Once you are out of control, you can be plagued with depression, anxiety, bitterness, addictions, compulsive thoughts, irritability, unhealthy urges, and a landscape littered with destroyed relationships. We must find productive ways to resolve our anger. Ephesians tells us not to let the sun go down while you are still angry, which can also be said as, do not nurse your anger. Do not hold grudges. Staying angry is a choice. Often we get angry at somebody and we stay awake at night and we spice up the lecture we're going to give that person. We decide exactly how we're going to put them in their place. We think of things that we could do to let that person know just how mad we are at what they did. So we stir that, we bring it to a boil, we let it simmer, and then we have a nice angry stew. But nobody wants to eat that angry stew except for the cook. James gives us some important tips on anger resolution. We are to be slow to speak. I have a lot to say about not saying a lot, but I'll say that another time. It is a dangerous myth that we should let it all hang out. Angry words, words that we would have never dreamt of saying otherwise, cannot be taken back. A Chinese proverb says, "The fastest horse cannot catch a word spoken in anger." The Bible tells us it's better to say nothing at all when we're angry. It's better to wait when we cool off. Many times after we cool off, we realize that the issue isn't even worth addressing. It is not true that we should just freely express our anger. Research shows that letting it rip escalates anger and aggression, and it does nothing to help resolve the situation. Cursing, swearing, jumping up and down does not help. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. The other thing is, letting it rip does not exemplify being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. We are to be quick to listen. Listen to those you are angry with. Try to listen more than you talk, and I know that's a tall order. Try to pick out the valid points they are making, and then try to say something like, "Good point." If you can't say that, don't say anything. Are you angry? Are you angry today? Being slow to speak and quick to listen is just the beginning. There's one more thing you've got to do, and honestly, I don't think you're going to like it. You have to forgive those who have caused the anger. This is the key component in freedom ministry. If you want spiritual freedom, you have got to forgive. A pastor by the name of Jimmy Evans told a story once about a man named Paul. Paul and his wife had come to him for counseling because they were having a lot of trouble in their marriage. It seems that Paul had a lot of anger. So Pastor Jimmy gave them a personality test, and Paul scored off the charts on anger. His wife said he would get so mad he would go into the garage and beat himself with wrenches. And then he would put his family in the car, and he would drive dangerously fast and make screeching turns that scared them all. Pastor Jimmy took a look at that test, and after he heard what his wife said, he said to Paul, "Paul, who are you mad at?" Paul said, "I'm not mad at anybody." And Pastor Jimmy said, "No, you're mad at somebody. Who is it?" He started listing off a bunch of people till he got to, "Is it your father?" And Paul said, "No, but if I ever find that blankety blank, I'm going to kill him." It turns out that Paul's father left his mother when she was pregnant with him, and the anger over that was eating him alive. Pastor Jimmy looked at Paul and said, "Paul, you have just got to forgive your father." Paul hung his head for a really long time, and the minutes ticked. And when he looked up, he looked at Pastor Jimmy and he says, "Okay." So Jimmy led him in a prayer to forgive his father. When Paul and his wife came back the next week, Jimmy asked his wife, "Well, how is Paul doing with anger management?" And she said, "Well, we can't even make him mad. And believe me, we're trying." Unforgiveness is an invisible umbilical cord that keeps us attached to anger. That cord keeps us attached to anger, and it strangles everything in our lives and sometimes in the lives of people we love. In the Solomon Islands in the South Pacific, when a tree gets too big to be chopped down, the native loggers get mad at it and they yell at it. So the loggers creep up to the tree early in the morning as the sun is beginning to come up, and they start screaming at this poor tree at the top of their lungs. And they do this for 30 days. Their theory is that the anger kills the spirit of the tree, and then the tree falls down. And according to the loggers, this always works. These poor, naive, backward natives, right? Screaming at trees. How primitive. It's a good thing we aren't like those guys. It's a good thing we don't get angry at inanimate objects. It's a good thing we don't scream at the television, the car, the internet, or the vacuum cleaner. It's a good thing we're so educated and modern, right? Could it be? Is it possible that the folks on the Solomon Islands have a point? Anger kills the spirit of living things. Anger causes things to fall down all around us. And so many of us have been felled by anger. Even as I say these words, you know who you are. You know those angry things that have strangled you and killed your spirit. Probably all of us have deep hurts in our hearts from anger, be it our own fault or somebody else's. My friends, this morning, may we today allow the Spirit of God to heal us, and may we take His words seriously, be slow to become angry. And then may we forgive each other from the heart.